Yesterday's News by Hilary Fallon.
First love, there'd be but one house between you and me, and I thought I would find yourself coaxing my child on your knee. Over the tide I would leap with the leap of a swan, till I came to the side of the wife of the red-haired man. Hello? 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 Vasi? Hello? Sit! Vasi! Gregory? Sit! Vasi? Vasi? Hello? Vasi, can you hear me? If you can hear barking, that's okay. It's me, Bella. I mean, it's not me barking. I'm not the one barking. It's Gregory, the dog. Gregory is barking. I can hear the ocean, Vasi. You out taking in the lobster pots? Vasi, can you hear me? Gregory, sit down. He's my Aunt Isabel's dog. She's off with some poet she met on a literary weekend in Sligo. I'm minding Gregory while she's working on her rhyming couplets. Vasi? Gregory's 2. Well, 14 in dog years. Spends most of his time trying to wrap himself around anything on 4 legs, which is probably par for the course for a hairy adolescent. Down! Vasi? Can you hear me? Your phone sounds as if it's on the bottom of the ocean. You feel very far away. Is the sun shining in Milliette? It's raining here.
Surprise me again, why don't you?
I'm driving through the middle of nowhere, surrounded by sheep. They don't want to play, Gregory. They're sheep. You should see this place, Vasi. When the clouds part, it's spectacular. It reminds me of Milliette. The black lakes, the dark green trees, the flinty mountains. No sun, of course. And no cedar trees dipping their heads into the Adriatic. But hey. Sometimes I think I dreamt Milliette. Dreamt it all. The creaking old ferry mooring by the slipway. The three of us stumbling along the stony lane to your bar in our daft shoes. The bar. Oh, the fish. God, Vasi, what you can do to a fish? Who would have guessed I could be seduced by a sea bass? A day trip from Dubrovnik that turned into a week. And leaning into you on the empty beach, watching the ferry leave without me. And Catherine and Emma climbing back on board in their mad high heels and their summer dresses, holding onto the rails, hissing at me. Catherine, furious, her pretty little face all mashed up with rage. Your reputation, Bella. What about your reputation? That first night, Vasi. Moored on Milliette. You, Vasi. Mainly, I think I dreamt you. You can't hear me, Vasi, can you? I'm howling into the wind. God, Vasi, sometimes I feel so lost. I have news. The new features editor has been appointed. Catherine, pulled from the ranks of bottom feeders and given a brand new swivel chair to park her outraged little derriere in. Catherine! Catherine, my travelling companion. Catherine of What About Your Reputation, Bella, is now my boss. Can you believe it? You remember Catherine, allergic to shellfish. You cooked her an omelette. She was suddenly allergic to eggs. Catherine, who is now calling herself Cat, is my new boss. Cat! Cat's opening salvo was to unilaterally ban lunch breaks. She's even banned eating at the desk. I had two bananas on the roof yesterday. Felt like King Kong. Cat, who also presided over all the freelancers being let go, is currently in the process of hiring herself an editorial assistant, someone to do the work of six people. Hired to fire people. Cat's about as empathetic as a Weetabix. I survived the cull. I'm one of the two candidates for the job of her assistant. Oh, I have to try, Vassie. Don't I? I need a job, don't I? If I'm hired, the first thing I'm going to do is negotiate a holiday. I won't be, though, will I? The other candidate, Phelim, vaulting ambition in a pair of purple drainpipe trousers, is the odds-on favourite. Cat's just playing with me before she disembowels me. I am Cat's mouse. Vassie? Can you hear me? It's brightening to grey here. Whoops! Big sheep! Ooh. Middle of the road sheep. Well, apart from the livestock and the lakes, this part of the country is awash with aging rock and roll stars. They move here for their dotage, as if organic beetroot and a bit of fresh air is going to do them any good at this stage. I'm on assignment. Cat sent me to interview Kitty Kearney. Remember Kitty? Surely you bought a copy of Anxiety. The entire world wept over that album. Did Anxiety make it as far as Millet? They're re-releasing the album this week, digitally enhanced. She must be nearly 70 now. Cat said, I should treat this assignment as an audition for the role of her editorial assistant. Kitty, hardly cutting edge at 70, is she? Meanwhile, Phelim and his drainpipe trousers have flown to London to interview Madonna, who's in such paroxysms of rage over the reviews for her latest film that she's spitting journos out of her hotel suite like pecan shells. 10 kilometres to go. Too many miles between us, Vassie. How many sheep? Is enough sheep, Vassie? I remember every moment with you, Vassie. Driving over the mountain the next morning to buy razor blades. My face raw from your beard. You suddenly looked shy. 7 mornings watching you shave. Come back before my cuts heal. That was the last thing you said to me, Vassie. Come back before I heal.
Bella. Bella.
You said I wasn't a holiday romance. You said we weren't a holiday romance. You can't hear me, Vassie. Which is just as well, because I'm in grave danger of telling you that I can't stop thinking about you. Worse, Vassie, I'm in grave danger of telling you that I love you. So there. Thank your lucky stars for lousy mobile phone coverage. How can I risk breaking my heart, Vassie? 5 kilometres to go, Vassie. So, lobster in the bar tonight? You'll have to poke your father out of his chair, put an apron on him, get him hammering a couple of claws. And give him my love. Give him Ilyak my love. Give you my love.
Bella.
Vasi.
Bella.
Vasi.
Bella.
Vasi.
Bella.
Vasi.
Cat here. I'm loath to assume the technological revolution has stretched as far as Ballygor Shagme sideways, or whatever godforsaken Boreen you have disappeared up, but I live in hope that you get this message. Well, exciting times. Look, I know you're upset about losing colleagues, Bella, but let's face it, less competition means more opportunity. Swallow the sympathy, Bella. Bite on the break. Right now, I'm looking at an empty chair, which by the end of the week will be occupied by my spanking new editorial assistant. You are Thalem. Bella or Thalem? Thalem or Bella? Now, Bella, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Thalem, dynamic, smart, skinny, goofily cute in a totally post-ironic way. What chance could I possibly have? Stop putting yourself down, Bella. Yes, Thalem is a major talent. And yes, he has just written the most hysterical blog about shoe shopping with Madonna in Knightsbridge. Did you read it? Or did you leave your iPhone on top of the cistern? Again. Apparently, Madonna was pushing her feet into a pair of 18-inch Laboutins and moaning her crappy head off about the reviews of her latest tragedy on celluloid when Thalem decided to introduce her to what he calls vie au pauvre. Poor living, gutter beauty, recession panache. According to Thalem, it is totally passé right now to spend more than 10 quid on anything. So, he whips her out of Harrods, throws her into a limo, and brings her to Oxfam in Notting Hill. Oxfam! Can you believe it? She bought a pair of cork-heeled wedges, peep-toe, ankle strap, circa 1979. Knowing Thalem's luck, Diana Spencer probably wore them under her bell-bottoms to her first polo match. Madonna was blown away, apparently. Totally blown away. And so grateful to Thalem. Ostentation is yesterday's news. I am glued to my screen waiting for his interview with Miss Ciccone. That's the kind of balls I'm looking for, Bella. Balls will be the hallmark of my editorial reign. I won't go unnoticed, Bella. I will not be cowed. This is my reputation on the line here, Bella. Everything I've worked for. God, I'm on fire. Now, where was I? Thalem or you? You or Thalem? That decision is in your hands, Bella. You are the mistress of your own destiny. Which reminds me, your Croatian waiter has been phoning the office all day looking for you. I really would appreciate it, Bella, if you could keep your holiday romance on a leash and deal with the consequences of your ludicrously rash and, need I remind you, potentially dangerous fling in your own time rather than the company's. To business. Kitty Kearney. Rock chick stoner. More eyeliner than talent. Produces one seminal album of unutterable dirge. Anxiety. Pompous name for an album, as Thalem said. Why they're re-releasing it is beyond me. Couple of thousand words on the old girl, and don't cross my boredom threshold writing about how she came to the west of Ireland to grow sodding parsnips. Our readers are not interested in the organic diet of a has-been. Think sex. What was Jagger like in The Scratcher? That kind of thing. And dig up a picture we haven't all seen 100 times already. One with her tongue in her own mouth would be novel. And no therapist guff. It's going to take more than a pot of homemade jam to repair Kitty Kearney's reputation. We are a heat-seeking online communication rocket, Bella. Not a band-aid. You're a journalist, not a social worker. Don't be kind. Goodness. Your phone is ringing again. Look at all those busy little Croatian numbers on your caller ID buzzing their little hearts out. My, he is keen. Word of advice, Bella. Forget your Croatian kitchen porter. Get your teeth into Kitty Kearney. This is your shot. Make it count. I want fireworks, Bella. I want you to set me a light. Ciao, Bella.
Hello, Ms. Kearney. Kitty. My name is Bella. I'm a journalist with Ireland Spy, Ireland's leading online publication. Our office has been trying to get in touch with you through your publicist, Ms. Kearney. We're planning a feature to coincide with the digital relaunch of Anxiety, and we'd like to interview you. Ireland Spy prides itself on being at the cutting edge of Irish life, especially with regard to media and entertainment. Who's doing what, where, to whom, and how often kind of thing. I drove down from Dublin this afternoon. I'm parked right outside your house, Miss Kearney, which is very rustic and beautiful. I realise it's late. It's just when we didn't hear back, we thought maybe I should call in person. Ms. Kearney? I see a shadow at your window. Gregory, quiet. We're excited at Ireland Spy about the digital remastering of Anxiety. We love your work, Ms. Kearney. We feel our readers deserve an opportunity to meet you on our site. There's a light on upstairs. I can see a light on. Is that your Jeep outside the house, Miss Kearney? I would get out of the car and knock on your door, Miss Kearney, but unfortunately I've got my aunt's dog with me, Gregory. I think he might worry your sheep. Hell, if I was one of your sheep and Gregory was nosing around, Anxiety would be more than one great album. Oh, sorry. Where will you be when the weak man calls? Raining hammer blows against my wall. I used to think that you knew me, knew my life. Used to think you wrote the lyrics just for me. I suppose that was the genius of Anxiety. Everyone felt you read their minds. I didn't want to bring Gregory on my assignment. My aunt is off wooing some poet in Sligo. I went over to her house before work this morning to feed him. He greets me like I've been resurrected. I left, realised I'd forgotten my glasses, dashed back into the house, left the front door open for half a second, and the dog escaped. Gregory escaped. I say escaped as if he'd been planning it, as if he was desperate, as if he had something he needed to escape from, which he didn't. Doggy beds all over the house. His own teddy. I found him heading towards the M50. By that stage, I was so late for work, there was nothing for it but to take him with me. Oh, your light has gone off. I'm sorry. Sorry for rambling on about the dog. It's probably not that terribly interesting. Okay. I'm going to go now, Ms. Kearney. Gregory's hungry. The last thing he ate was my ham sandwich on the Kinnegad bypass. I passed a place called the Railway Hotel. I'm going to try and get a room there. Hopefully, they'll extend their hospitality to the dog. Call me. There are so many things I'd like to talk to you about. You know, Mick Jagger, rock and roll, gardening. Your night-scented stock is so fecund. Well, good night, Miss Kearney. Okay, let me just make sure that this is working. Railway Hotel, interview with proprietor Mrs. Flanagan.
Mrs. Bartley Flanagan.
Sorry, of course.
Railway Hotel, interview with proprietor...
Oh, that's fine.
Do I speak into an aperture?
Just as you are. The microphone will pick you up.
Right, so you're welcome to the Railway Hotel.
Great. I wanted to talk about Kitty Kearney.
As for the dog, I have my standards. The dog will sleep in the yard. A yard is a suitable place for a dog. A double bedroom with tea and coffee making facilities, a newly installed mini bar and an ensuite bathroom is not. Breakfast is at 7. The dog will be furnished with the leftovers.
Oh, okay. You're busy.
You're our sole resident.
Terrific. So, Kitty Kearney, I'm looking for a little local colour.
Local colour? Oh, I'm sure we can provide plenty of local colour.
Well, tell me about the town.
This is a town that prides itself in its reputation for friendliness, warmth and hospitality. We are well known here for putting strangers at ease, for welcoming blow-ins, the Dutch in search of hills, the Germans in search of bogs, the Belgians who like to fish, and yourself, a journalist no less, down to interview our very own celebrity.
Indeed. And what's she like? What's the real Kitty Kearney like?
The real Kitty Kearney? Bartley Flanagan, come out from behind that bar. The journalist with the yellow dog wants to know about the real Kitty Kearney. This is not a town for the bitter word. This is a town devoid of malice. This is a town without spite. This is a town whose business it is to mind our own, as my husband will tell you. Bartley? Come over here, I'm telling you. I am the last person in the county to cast aspersions. I am of the firm belief that we are all entitled to our good name, to our reputation. Bartley? Let me tell you, celebrity or not, Kitty Kearney threw her reputation into the slurry pit the day she dragged the good name of my husband, Bartley Flanagan, the most demure, benighted of men, whose every illness has been stoically borne into the inferno of her torrid existence. Bartley, here, now! Let's make no bones about it. Kitty Kearney is a man-eater. Plain and simple, a voracious, insatiable man-eater. Young or old, there's none safe from her appetite. Bartley! You've heard about the toy boy, no doubt?
Toy boy?
Or did that piece of information fail to filter through to the Dublin media?
Kitty Kearney has a toy boy.
She may look like Matta Bloody Harry, with her blackened eyes and her wisp of chiffon, but she's 70 if she's a day, skin and bones and a blue tattoo. And don't try telling me she was born with hair the colour of a sunset. You could grout tiles with the amount of slap on her face. And to think that cradle-snatching harlot had the audacity to accuse my husband of stalking. Stalking. Bartley Flanagan wouldn't have the wherewithal to stalk a hare. Bartley? Do I have to come in behind that bar and get you out myself?
So this toy boy...
My husband, Bartley Flanagan, is not a well man. Racked by ailments he is. Kitty Kearney letting on that he was poking around outside her cottage, gawping in her windows, telling the sergeant that he accosted her in her lane. Bartley Flanagan couldn't accost a postage stamp. The plain and simple truth is that my husband has found great relief for his sciatica in duck eggs.
I'm sure he has, but...
No great mystery. Sure wasn't Bartley only looking after the woman's welfare when he went up there to her cottage that night with the two big eggs in his trouser pockets. She's an old woman. She's bound to have unreliable joints.
Indeed.
Bartley Flanagan! Stop polishing those glasses and tell the journalists about your ailments. Bartley Flanagan is a martyr. His every vertebra a traitor to his spine. And don't talk to me about his bowels.
His bells.
Bartley! There you are! Look at him. The man has no luck. If it's going to rain, it will rain on Bartley Flanagan. If Bartley Flanagan was standing in a field of lightning alongside 100 men with metal rods sprouting from their craniums, Bartley Flanagan, in his non-conductive rubber boots, would be the one struck down. And this is the man. This shadow of a man is accused of poking around Kitty Kearney's house, nosing around her lane, following after her in the Corolla when she's out walking the highways and byways of the county in her capes and spindle heels.
Absolutely, but...
Mad! Let's make no bones about it. The woman is mad as a March hare, mutton dressed as lamb. The state of her. I'll tell you when it all started. Do you want me to tell you when it all started?
With the toy boy?
With Bartley? Stop picking at your hands, Bartley. It started when I took Bartley to Budapest to have a new set of teeth put into him. Terrible trouble with his teeth. Couldn't bear anything in his mouth that wasn't pulverized. 20 years younger he looked after the implants. It's my opinion. Kitty Kearney spotted the new teeth on Bartley and thought to herself, I'll have a bit of that. You could see the wild need on her when she came in here to the bar that night. She wouldn't sit down, wouldn't order a thing, looming around the door like a ghost looking for the toy boy. 70 years old if she's a day, and him not much more than 20. The dogs on the street were talking about it in this town, I'll tell you. Pathetic. A woman of her years, yearning after a fine lad like Red. What's wrong with you, Bartley? Stop shifting around in your seat. I'm only telling the child the truth. Red. Pride of the county. Beautiful tenor voice he has. With a great thirsty crowd booked in that night to hear him sing. £15 ahead we were laughing. The red-haired man, we call him round here, born and bred on this very market square, blessed with the voice of an angel. Magnificent lad, singing his lungs out since he was in the pram. The red hair curling onto his shoulders, the shadow of the scapular anointing his rosy cheeks. His mother, God rest her, would turn in her grave to think that painted old witch, Kitty Kearney, had him in her clutches. It's wrong. It's against nature, a young man like that, wasting his virility on a dry old bone. Still, I suppose with her connections in the music business, she had promised him the sun, moon and stars. Some price, I'll tell you. A whole year they were parading around this town like young lovers. Planted a tree in the middle of the feckin' square to commemorate their union. In the name of God, who gave them permission to do that? And I'm not allowed to stick a blackboard outside my own front door advertising my soup du jour! The night of Red's do in here, and whatever alchemy it was that had him shrouded for a year, had lifted, as we all knew it surely must. The night Red sang here in the railway hotel, what had passed between him and Kitty Kearney was dead and buried. The whole town knew. Some said he left her because she didn't deliver on her promises to make him famous. Myself, I'd say he woke up one morning to her old face beside him on the pillow, and whatever way the light caught, the scales were lifted from his young eyes. What's wrong with you, Bartley? Sit up straight. You'll torment your back slumped over like that. Red lifted the roof off the place that night. No lack of admirers either, the Heffernan twins. He'd one on each of his knees after, bouncing them up and down, and fine big girls they are too. In all the excitement, I forgot about Kitty Kearney, the banshee in the porch, weeping into her velvet cloak. She must have slipped away, but Bartley, a man martyred to his own discomfort, is sensitive to the pain of others. Bartley saw her leave. Sure, didn't he only go up to her cottage to comfort the woman and her all alone and the night that was in it? What need had she to call the guards? Anxiety. I'll give you anxiety. That woman and her poisoned tongue caused me plenty of anxiety. Bartley! Get up there and get the journalist a cup of tea. She hasn't touched her sandwich. Do you want to know the worst of it? Long after the bar had closed, the revellers departed. Bartley came back from Kitty Kearney's cottage, the Corolla below in the yard still warm from the drive back to town, and my Bartley sat on the side of our marital bed and wept. Wept? What's wrong with you, Bartley? I asked him, and he looked at me with his poor wet eyes, and a chill passed through me. I always dreamt I'd see America, was what he said. I dreamt I'd see America with a princess on my arm. Bartley, I said to him, weren't we in New Jersey for my second cousin's third wedding only last September? Sergeant was here the next morning. A warning, he said. This time, Bartley, I'll give you a warning, but it's your last. Do you want a bit of cling film for the sandwich? I hate waste.
Okay. What's left in Mrs. Bartley Flanagan's newly installed mini bar? We drank the red wine and the white wine. We drank the gin and the slimline tonic. All right. I drank the wine and the gin, but you had all the peanuts and the walnut whip. Let's see. Two Bacardis, one Coke, three cheese crackers. Well, fair's fair, Gregory. You get the crackers, I get the booze. Good boy. Good boy. Oh, good boy, no barking. Mrs. Bartley Flanagan thinks you're in the yard. Take your crackers back into the wardrobe. You can sleep on the spare blanket. And Gregory, oh, hey, if you need the bathroom, use it. Yeah, you know, use the loo, Gregory, if you need to. Cats can do it. I've seen them on YouTube. No. Shh. No cats, Gregory. There are no cats. Quiet. Good boy. Lie down. I have to do some work, Gregory. Rough draft email for Catherine. Oh, cat. Sorry. 2 a.m. Railway hotel. Starving. Kitty Kearney. Rock star, icon, smoky-eyed goddess, the woman who brought anxiety to our teenage bedrooms, now hides behind the gable of her isolated artistic cottage, unable to face a world eagerly anticipating the digital re-release of her seminal album. The chill winds of autumn ruffle the branches of the reddened leaves, hunched over the town's market square. A few short miles away lies the home of the reclusive star, where she has lived since jettisoning her lavish metropolitan existence. A lowly figure, wandering the hills and valleys in her flimsy dresses, Kearney is a woman whose sigh is as deep as the ocean she watches from the wind-swept cliffs around her home. Oh, tripe. Oh, Kitty is haunted by a passion that even in these enlightened times dare not speak its name. Kitty in her 60s, 70s, has been conducting a very public affair with a young, virile and talented man known hereabouts as Red. Red. A local singer whose voice lifts the spirits of the town and whose red hair is emblematic of his fiery, passionate nature, is a mere youth, a boy of not much more than 20, with whom Kitty Kearney has been sharing her isolated love nest for well over a year. Note to self. Bring in backstory, re her other lovers, Jagger, Hendrix, Page, Clapton, etc., Google rumours, something saucy? Was she ever bi? Check her health status. Hep C, drugs, alcohol, any STDs. Get her to talk. Gregory, Mrs. Bartlett Flanagan finds you in here. You'll be floating in her soup du jour. You need a pee, Gregory, don't you? You're not a cat, are you? No. Right, we'll try the fire escape. I'll open the window for you. No, you'll have to be quiet, though. Gregory, why doesn't Vassie call me? Truth is, Gregory, I don't want to be Kat's editorial assistant. I want to swim in the Adriatic I want to lie on those big flat rocks with Vasi and watch the ocean eat the moon.
Vasi's the wrong thing to want, Gregory, isn't he? I should want a career. I should want what I was trained to want.
You know, you can't just follow your heart, Gregory. You get hurt. You get lost. You fail. That's the worst thing about following your heart, Gregory. Heart failure. You think I should go to Vasi, don't you?
Tell Cat where to put her jaw.
It's all right for you. You're happy being shaggy and yellow. I'm supposed to do something with my life.
Gregory, go. Pee. I'll follow you down. I just have to save this email. Over the tide, I would leap to a shaggy yellow-haired man and control and save.
No! No, 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 no! No, I didn't! I didn't tell you to send. I told you to save. Oh, dag it!
Do I hear barking? Do I? Do I hear barking?
Got your coffee last night. You're in today's edition. Had to do major rewrites. Tried to call you on that stupid phone of yours. Must be your network. You're not receiving calls. No need to panic about anything libelous. I stuck in allegedly, apparently, and it seems everywhere. Made it abundantly clear she'd had absolutely tons of men and bumped up speculation on the drugs, drink and sexually transmitted disease front. Oh, you'll be pleased to hear I found a pic of her, Patti Smith and Meatloaf draped around each other in some sweatbox. Readers can draw their own conclusions. Stroke of genius on my part. I also pulled up an agency pic of some generic innocent boy type on his first Holy Communion, photoshopped in a head full of bright red hair and stuck it next to a snap of Kearney with a fag in her mouth. And I posed the screamingly obvious question, which you failed to answer. Why does a hot young guy hit the sack with a woman who could be his grandmother? I wonder if she was paying him. Shame he hasn't got a sister with an incurable disease who needs money for a life-saving surgery in California. Still, too much to hope for, I suppose. Take one more day on this, Bella. Get quotes. I'm going to run with this again tomorrow. We are getting major hits. And thanks in no small part to my ingenuity, it's just made most read online story in Israel and the Netherlands. Cool. By the way, Bella, you haven't heard from Phelan, have you? I mean, I know he'll file the Madonna piece as soon as he can. Phelan is a perfectionist, obviously. I mean, I'm not worried or anything. It's just that my reputation is on the line here. The editor is expecting fire. But not your problem, Bella. With greatness comes responsibility. Right? 5,000 words by 5 p.m. Oh, yes. The Croat has been ringing your phone off the hook. I told him you were on assignment, told him that some people had to work for a living instead of spending their day barbecuing crayfish. You've a lot to thank me for, Bella. The piece in today's edition has your name splashed all over it. You hear from Phelan? Call me.
Well, hello. I was expecting a journalist, not a big yellow mutt.
Sorry, the door was open.
Ah, the author. Cradle snatch songstress in steamy sex romp. Pervy pensioner in toy boy tryst.
I didn't actually write.
Come in. I can offer you tea, Bella. You must be exhausted after all that alliteration. It is Bella, isn't it? You telephoned last night.
Yes, I...
Wonders of technology, Bella. Your words rampaging around the world at the press of a button, even managing to find their way into my humble kitchen. I hope you had a comfortable night in the railway hotel. It's a god-awful place.
I was wondering about a statement for our readers.
Honey, suffice. I can never find the sugar.
An interview. I think our readers deserve to hear your side of the story.
Milk, I presume? I can manage that. Your tea.
Thank you. I didn't think you'd let me in.
I like your dog.
Yeah? He hasn't had a whole heap of admirers so far.
Well, there's no accounting for taste.
The piece has had a lot of hits, a lot of traffic. Some of our readers seem to find the idea of an older woman conducting a relationship with a man in his 20s a little unpalatable.
Is he hungry?
He's always hungry.
Would cat food do? Oh, goodness, he talks.
People are calling it exploitation. You are famous. You're rich, influential. He's a striving young artist.
No, there's a couple of tins I keep in here for the strays. That should do. In my experience, dogs and rock stars are pretty indiscriminatory about their pleasures. What did you say his name is?
Gregory.
Come on, Gregory. Come on outside. Come on. You can eat al fresco. Oh, bring your mug, Bella.
Breathtaking. God, what a view.
This was an experiment living here. The house, the land, the ocean. Swapping kitten heels for Wellington boots. My grandparents' cottage, before they emigrated. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, I have such clear memories of them both. My grandfather, Jack, and his sad old songs. He told me that his soul lay dead in Ireland, slain by a pitchfork. In Brooklyn, he said he was a walking ghost. My grandmother was a lot jollier, drying her bedsheets on the bushes in the park, grinning at the passers-by without a tooth in her head. Over here, we can sit in the arbor, watch the waves. Oh, look, cormorants. See them? They never rest.
How did it end? You and Red, who left who?
Freckle-faced girl with your spiral-bound notebook. Your sad green eyes. Don't you ever rest either? Drink your tea.
Thanks. Did he leave you?
I'm afraid I won't answer your questions, Bella. You'll just have to create more fiction.
I'm a journalist, not a novelist.
Pity. Oh, did you meet my publicist on the way in, Adrian? Drove down from the city this morning. He's setting up a press tent in the orchard. Mint tea and very good coffee. He's hoping to civilize the Third Estate. Adrian's very excited. Apparently we've gone viral. He's preparing a statement. Kitty Kearney regrets her moral transgression. Oh, you know the kind of thing.
No, I don't.
Me neither, actually. I certainly don't think love between consenting adults constitutes a moral transgression. Oh, what do you think of my hen house, Bella?
You loved him.
Damn hens have never liked me. I'm lucky to get an egg a week. Heated hatching pads, a security fence to keep out the foxes. I mean, they live like the cloistered wives of a sheik. One of these days, I'm going to look through the hen house window and find them queuing up for a pedicure.
And did he love you?
You know, my hens are xenophobic. They're making me suffer for having the audacity to think I could make my home here. See, look, they look at me with their tough little eyes, and they see a blow-in. I said to Red, "Red, the hens don't like me." And he said, "It's not you they don't like. They just don't like the way you cluck." And he spent the afternoon teaching me to cluck. Oh, we laughed. I made him fish cakes. We sat by the fire, drank elderflower cordial. We'd run out of booze, and neither of us wanted to leave to drive downtown. You don't have to cluck in Manhattan, Bella. You want an egg? You click your fingers at the waiter.
Too easy.
Want an exclusive, Bella? A scoop?
Of course.
I'm going home, Bella. I've had enough fresh air. There is way, way too much air this side of the Atlantic for just one person. Write this down, Bella. To celebrate the relaunch of her zillion-selling album, Anxiety, Kitty Kearney is going home. Leaving the starlight, leaving the shoreline, leaving the gulls hovering around her like tuxedoed waiters, leaving the diligent cormorants. She is going back to her native city, where it is so much easier to be lonely.
But it's so beautiful here.
10 years. Long enough in one place. 10 years ago, I flew here, first class, JFK to Shannon. Sat next to a Monsignor in a purple shawl. We drank vodka tonics for 7 hours straight. And flying over the cliffs of Moher, he told me that this mythical isle I learned about from my grandparents was an illusion. He told me that despite her reputation as a well-buckled virgin, Ireland was a cantankerous old tart, hiding dirty secrets under her skirts. I liked him. His boyfriend offered me a lift to Galway, but I already had a driver. I've been very happy here, Bella. I like friction. I like when life is unpredictable, volatile. I like not knowing how the story will end.
Are you leaving because of the gossip?
No.
Are you leaving because of the article? Oh, my God. Are you leaving because of what I wrote? I didn't even mean to send it in. I just hit the wrong button on my laptop after I drank the minibar.
My decision has nothing to do with the disapproving burgers. I've never needed approbation, Bella. Never gave a damn what other people thought. Certainly not a bunch of shopkeepers. I've never had a tribe, Bella. You've got to make your own decisions in life. Stand or fall on your own 2 feet.
Do you regret it? Regret him? Do you wish you'd never even met him?
Oh, I had a glorious year.
But he hurt you.
Maybe a little. So what? You're going to hide under a rock your whole life? Wait for the cormorant to fish you out, swallow you whole?
Did he break your heart? That can happen. People can die of sadness. They miss somebody, somebody they didn't even used to know existed. They don't want to die of sadness, so they make stupid, rash decisions, spend the rest of their life stuck on some island in the Adriatic gutting crayfish and getting fat and cleaning toilets while their friends edit online newspapers and write hysterically funny blogs about Madonna.
Right. Right. Are you in love, Bella?
I don't want to get old and fat and crabby in the Adriatic.
No, I'm sure you don't. But maybe you're writing the script of your life a little too fast. Maybe you should slow down, enjoy the view. You don't need to write the ending, Bella, when you haven't even played out the beginning.
What kind of a bird is that?
Oh, a heron, spreading his wings.
Was he beautiful?
Red? Jeez, no! Buck ugly! Tan resistant, had a backside that never saw sunlight. Belched, farted, sang in the bath. Lousy listener, wildly opinionated, and entirely disinterested in anything he hadn't already seen, screwed, or eaten in his short 22 years. And Red loved this town. The ugly bars, the cinderblock discotheque, the mart full of computer-chipped cows, the schoolboy reunions in the Grand Hotel. I mean, I asked him to come back with me to Manhattan, even tried to bribe him with all those things people said he wanted. Agents, deals. But he and I knew that what we'd had together had passed. I remember every moment with him.
I know.
You need to leave, Bella, before Gregory eats my hens. They're a bunch of hags, but they don't deserve that. Uh-oh, the buzzards are gathering. I hear cars in the lane. I'm going to have to go down to the orchard to make my little speech.
Why did you speak to me? Why did you trust me? It's my fault that your privacy's been shattered.
Instinct. Intuition. Not many hardened hacks turn up with yellow dogs. Maybe your eyes, Bella, they're the same color as the sea. The Adriatic, isn't it? I think you should free yourself, Bella. I think you should let your story unfold. In no time at all, we are all yesterday's news. Now go on, Bella. Take the damn dog home, or my hands will need anointing.
Last call. All passengers for Aer Lingus flight EI447 to Dubrovnik, please proceed to the gate. Your flight awaits departure.
Here. Bella? Bella, pick up the damn phone. I know you can hear me. Bella, I am your boss. Answer your telephone. This instant. The job is yours, Bella. Do you hear me? The job is yours. Damn, Phelim and his drainpipe trousers. A guru? He's Madonna's new shagging guru.
All this living in the moment nonsense, this following your heart lunacy. He brings her to shagging Oxfam to buy a pair of wedges, and suddenly that qualifies him as a guru. How many gurus does she need? One for every day of the week? And where is his interview? He promised me an interview. And where is your interview? Bella, pick up the phone. I'm making excuses with the editor here, but they're wearing thin. It's my head on the block. This is my future, do you hear me, Bella? This is my reputation on the line. Pick up the telephone! Bella! Bella!
That was Yesterday's News by Hilary Fannin. Donna Dent was Bella, and Kat was played by Karen Ardiff. Mrs. Bartley Flanagan was played by Helen Norton, and Susan Fitzgerald played Kitty Kearney. Other voices were played by members of the company. Sound supervision was by Richard McCulloch, and the dramaturg was Jesper Bergman. Yesterday's News by Hilary Fannin was produced by Kevin Reynolds.